It's wonderful how God works, because today, during communion, Tim was talking about believing and how this communion is for everybody who believes. And as God does so often, the message that he put in my heart to preach this week has to do with believing. Kind of great how that works. And it's kind of special, you know, when I got to thinking about it, when you believe in someone or someone believes in you. So I wanted to start with a little story. When my oldest son was playing sports, he played golf, he played baseball, he played basketball. When he would come up to the plate in tight situation, you know, maybe game was on the line and he was the hitter that just happened to be up in that particular situation, had a couple guys on base, needed a hit to tie the game or win the game or whatever. Anytime he'd get into a situation like that, I always made sure that I got down close enough that he could hear me, and I would say, "Lance, I believe in you." And invariably, he would get that hit. It never failed. He would get that hit. And it wasn't because he just all of a sudden learned how to hit. He always knew how to hit. It was because somebody believed in him. And that gave him a little extra power. His senior year, he's playing basketball. And it was a game that would have or would give the team the league championship and give them a top seed going into the sectional tournament. They were down two. They had about 6 seconds left on the clock. And in that situation, the coach always liked to call this play where the point guard would come down the floor. He'd pitch it over here to the wing. And then he'd make this big circle, and he'd go all the way down. The wing would throw it into the big man in the middle, and the big man in the middle would hit the point guard over here in the corner, and the point guard would take a three. So coach called timeout. I knew what was coming. Lance knew what was coming. He knew that coach was going to call the play for him to take the three. He looked over at me. They're all huddled up on the, you know, they're sitting on the bench. And the coach is like leaning over and give him instructions, show him the play and diagram it up on the little whiteboard that they had. And Lance, I was at the scorer's table. I was the public address announcer. And he leaned back like this and he looked at me and I knew exactly what he was looking for. And I mouthed the words, "I believe in you." So here they come. They run the play. Sure enough, perfect. They set the screen. He's wide open in the corner. They give him the ball and he shoots the shot. And he didn't hit the shot. But the reason he didn't hit the shot was because he got fouled taking the shot. So now there's 0.2 seconds left on the clock. And he's on the free throw line with three shots. Got to hit two to tie it. If he hits all three, they win it. First one, front rim falls in. He looks over at me. I just smile. He knows exactly what I mean with my smile. Second one, front rim, backboard, drops in. Whew. Place is going crazy. We've tied it up. One shot left. And he always had this routine where he would go down like this and he'd rub his hands on his socks to keep the sweat off of his hands so his hands were dry, weren't clammy with the basketball. And he did that routine, and he goes like this, and he bends over and he does it again. And then he looks over at me again, and I just smiled and I nodded. I knew it was going in. He knew it was going in. Third shot, nothing but net. Bingo. What a wonderful thing belief is. What a wonderful thing. So all my life, I've read, heard, recited a million times, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And I've always wondered, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And so I decided to delve into it a little bit. And this is what I'm going to talk about today. What does it mean, truly mean, to believe in Jesus? That's what we're going to talk about today. Even Jesus talked about believing. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, so believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself. That is where I'm going, that you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know." And he goes on, someone says, "Well, what is the way?" And he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And whoever believes in me shall not die." Once again, he's talking about believing. Believing. In John chapter 11, verse 26, he said, "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Says to the woman at the well. Talking again about believing in him. So I did a little bit of searching, and I thought, you know, this is pretty important to him. This is pretty important to him. The word believe, or a derivative thereof, appears 249 times in the Bible. 249 times. Funny, though, only 20 in the Old Testament. Only 20. In the New Testament, it's in the book of Matthew 9 times. It's in the book of Mark 18 times. In the book of Luke 9 times. And in John 94 times. Talks about believing. The rest of the books of the New Testament, 99 times. So a lot of believing going on in the New Testament. And I thought that that was fascinating. So I thought about, okay, anybody in here play sports when you're young? Anybody? Okay, all right. Any of you have one of those coaches you just would have run through a wall for? Yeah. You know what I mean? And the reason? Because you believed in them. You believed in their knowledge of the game. You believed in their expertise. You believed that they knew what they were doing. You believed with your whole heart and soul that they would not let you down, that they would give you the right play, that they would call the right number, that they would do whatever they had to do to make you successful. And because of that, you loved them, and you would run through a wall for them because you believed in them. Everything about them, you believed in them. Isn't that the way we should be with Jesus? Yeah. Do you not believe in everything he said? Believe in everything he did? Believe in the miracles? Believe in the healings? Believe in the teachings? Believing in his commandments? You believed everything, right? I'm not suggesting that you get up out of your seat and run into that wall right now. But I am saying, in a figurative matter, let's run through a wall for it. Let's do that. You know, believing that Jesus accomplished everything that we needed for eternal salvation, and being saved, you know, we always talk about being saved. I got saved on this day, I got saved on that day, and I got saved here, and I got saved there. You can't be saved just because you decide you want to be saved. You don't decide to become saved, folks. You don't decide to become saved. You become saved when God calls you to be saved through your belief in Jesus. That's when you're saved. When God calls you to be saved, it's His choice, not yours. Okay? And He calls you to be saved based on what? Your belief in His Son and what He did for you. You're called to be saved. Now, believing that Jesus does save your soul, but it's only the first step. It's only the first step in being a Christian, in believing Jesus. It's the first step in you stepping toward your life of sanctification with Him. It's the first step. Now, but believing the way we need to believe can't come to us without God's grace touching your heart and your soul, bringing you to a point of realization that you truly need Jesus, that you truly need Him. Not that you just believe in this God and you believe that He came down from heaven and you believe that He was nailed to a cross to forgive your sins and that He rose from the dead to conquer death and blah, blah. No, but you need Him. When you get to that point where you need Him, then that is God's grace touching you in your heart and your soul. That's being saved. That's the kind of belief that God's looking for. That's the kind of belief that Jesus is looking for. Now, you know, how many of you have prayed the prayer? You know, Jesus, I am a sinner, blah, blah, you know, I forgive my sins, I believe You're my Savior, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Let me tell you something. Being a Christian, being a true believer in Jesus is not a one-time declaration. It is a process. It is a process. A process that we go through every single day. And when one day ends, we get up the next morning and the process starts all over again. It is a process. It is a way of life. It's not a one-time declaration. Believing in His message on our lives and taking that message into our hearts and striving to live like Him every day. That's Christianity. That's truly believing in Jesus. Don't you love little babies? And then they get big. Yes, yeah. And they're all just fun to be around and they're fun to play with and it's a wonderful thing. And it's nice that we have babies in the house again. For a while we didn't have babies in the house, or very many, but we do now. So taking a little step further, sorry I went down a little rabbit hole there. Squirrel. Baby. Yeah. So, what does it mean to truly believe in Jesus? We have to believe in His words, first of all. Do we not? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, you'll remember this. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." That's our basis for living. That's our nourishment, our spiritual nourishment, right there. So then We have to believe in his commandments. And we have to follow his commandments. And what were his commandments? Remember, Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And remember what he said his commandments were in Matthew 22? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these. And we've read these before, and it's been preached on before a million times, but yet somehow we just can't seem to live it like we need to live it. So we believe in his words, we follow his commandments, and then we have to live like he lived. And we get into that a little bit more in a minute here. So how exactly do we do that? How do we live like he lived? Well, first, we love. In John chapter 13, verse 35, he says, by this everyone will know that you are disciples when you love one another. We have to love. We have to love. There's too much of the other stuff going on in the world right now. We have to be the light in the darkness. We have to be the love that balances out the hate. We have to let that love, his love, shine through us to everyone around us wherever we go. That's what we've been called to do. We have to teach. Didn't he tell us that? Go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Yeah. We have to teach. In your job, in your school, in your family, we have to teach. We have to do that. And if you really love them, you're going to teach them. Are you not? Yes. You're going to share what you know about Jesus if you really love them. So you're showing your love by teaching. And you're loving them by teaching. By teaching them, you're loving them. It's a wonderful thing. And do not be afraid to do that, by the way. I mean, I'm not saying that you got to bring your Bible to work with you and stand on the corner during your lunch hour and do that. And jamming your faith down their throat, so to speak. I don't think that anybody likes that, and I don't know that's necessarily what Jesus wants us to do. But we do have to teach. We have to share, take an opportunity to share. Exactly. We have to heal. We got to pray. We got to go after it. A couple of weeks ago, people from Bethel were here. I hadn't heard anything out of this year in 3 weeks. I got a prayer, and by the time I went to bed that night, I could hear. Yeah. A week prior to that, I couldn't hear anything in my right ear. John prayed for me, and instantly it opened up. We have to heal. He gave us the power to heal. All these things I have done, you will do, and more, is what he said. Now, if we can't believe that, then you don't truly believe in Jesus. You got to step out of your comfort zone. You got to step out in faith and wait for God to show up. That's what you got to do. And you got to believe that God will show up. What's the thing that Tim has taught us over and over and over again? With God, nothing is impossible. Emphasis on the word nothing. With God, nothing is impossible. He's not going to do nothing. Nothing is not him. Nothing is not God. Look around you. Look at all these beautiful people and souls that he created. Look at creation itself. Nothing is not God.
Nothing.
We got to live in him and he in us. And I think in that way we allow his light and his love to shine through us to everyone around us. And I struggle with that sometimes about, you know, living with him and in him. I pray about it every morning. Every single morning is one of the very first things that I pray. Fill me with your presence and let me live with you and in you all day long. Someday I'm going to teach on that maybe. Sounds like a preachable subject. So we have to love. We have to teach. We have to heal. We have to learn to let him live in us. We know he's there, but we've got to let him out. Don't imprison him inside your soul. You got to let him out. He can't work through you unless you let him out. And when you let him out, oh my goodness, powerful things happen. People's lives change. People's lives literally change. I can remember shortly after Beth got well enough to come back, and she came up here and she talked about some of her experiences. And every step of the way, every step of the way, she kept her faith in God. Not only did she keep her faith in God, she was preaching to the people who were taking care of her. Yes. I'm telling you something. That morning, I sat right over there, and that changed my life. Changed my life. Going through near death. They're talking to the family about making arrangements. And she's telling people about Jesus. That's believing in Jesus. That's believing in Jesus. Incredible. Yeah. Yep. From that day forward, I said, there is nothing, nothing in my life that's going to keep me from spreading the good news. Nothing. I don't care what it is. That woman was doing when she was dead. You know? They gave her up for dead. She's still preaching. That's true belief. That's what it's all about. That's letting your light and his light shine all around you. All around you. Now, it's going to go a little deeper. Because in order to truly believe in Jesus, you got to be willing to go all the way. You got to be willing to make a total commitment there. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Now, I don't want to mess with you, but I don't think Jesus was saying, "Suck it up, buttercup. Suck it up. We all got problems. We all got troubles. We all got hurts. We got diseases. We got this. We got that. Suck it up and follow me anyway." That's not what he was saying. This is what I believe he was saying. That cross that he's referring to, the cross he's referring to, is a symbol of atonement. It's a symbol of forgiveness. It's a symbol of grace. It's a symbol of love. So what I think he was saying is, take up the atonement that I earned for you. Take up the forgiveness that I earned for you. Take up the grace of God the Father Almighty that brought me down to earth to redeem your sins. Take that all up. Take up the love that I gave to you all my life and in my dying and my resurrection. take up the atonement, take up the forgiveness, take up the grace, take up the love, and live with it. Live like it. Live like you're forgiven. Live like you've been atoned for. Live like you love. Live like you have God's grace flowing through you. That's what he's talking about. He didn't say suck it up. He's saying take all the things that that cross stands for and live like you mean it. Yeah. One of the guys out there and wrote a book about living on purpose, wasn't it? Or loving on purpose or something. Yeah, purpose-driven life. That's what it is. The purpose-driven life. If you pick up that cross, that one that I just described, and you live like you're forgiven and you're full of grace and you're full of love and that every wrong you ever committed or will commit has already been atoned for. If you live like that, you're going to live a purpose-driven life because everything you do is going to be based on that. Everything you do. I like this verse too, talking about believing. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, he says, "Therefore I tell you, stop being worried or anxious about your life, as to what you will eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, as to what you will wear. The Father knows you need them. First, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." So, there's the total commitment that he's talking about. Don't worry about that stuff. You'll be taken care of. God will take care of you. He'll get you a job. You'll have provision. Everything will work out. Concentrate more on the kingdom. That's what he's telling us to do. So in order for us to truly believe in him, do we not have to follow his word? We have to follow his word. That's a part of the package. That's a part of the process. Every single day, get up in the morning, start it all over the next day. Get up in the morning, start it all over the next day. Everything. Believing in Jesus means you go all the way. You go all the way. Tim preached it last week. You die to yourself. In other words, you're giving up those things that you know will cause you to fall short of the favor of God. You're giving up those things, and you know what they are. We all have them. You give up those things to follow him, to be like him, to do the things he told you to do. Preach, teach, heal, love, baptize. Live like I'm in you and you are in me. Live like that. Live like him. Love like him. Pray like him. Oh my. Yeah. How many times in the Bible did Jesus say that he went away and prayed? I mean, he would leave people who were needing healing or preaching or whatever, and he would just go away and he would pray. He would reestablish that beautiful connection that he had with God the Father. And what a wonderful thing to do, to start every day with prayer, and before you go to bed at night, pray. And all day long, pray. You know, there's a comfort in prayer. There's a peace in prayer. There's a power in prayer. Live like him, love like him, pray like him. Follow the word like him. How many times did he say, "It is written"? I'm doing this so that what was written will be fulfilled. Yeah. He came from heaven, came down here and fulfilled the word. Live like him, love like him, pray like him, follow the word like him, teach like him, heal like him. Devote your life to the Father like he did. It takes a total commitment every day. Every day. And that's what it truly means to believe in Jesus. So when you read all these things over 200 times in the Bible about believing, that's what it means. Now, Lord knows this world needs a bunch of Jesus running around, don't they? It really does. It really does. So the challenge for us is, are we going to step up and become the next generation of Jesus on this planet? That's what it is. You are Gen 2. And he gave you the power himself. He told you to go out and be Gen 2. Jesus 2.0. As a body, we are Jesus 2.0. We've been given that commission, the Great Commission. You all know what it is. We've been given that commission. We are Jesus 2.0. And it's time now for us to step up. I think I mentioned this about two times ago when I preached. It's time for us now to step up and be Jesus to the rest of this world. Father God, I just thank you for your words. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your opportunities that you present us with every day to share your love. I thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave us the blueprint to follow as far as what our lives here should look like. I thank you for faith, and I thank you for our ability to believe in you and to believe in Jesus with every fiber of our being. Help us all to truly believe in him in everything that we do, everything that we say, every work that we commit, and in and around all the people that we come in contact with. We give you praise and thanksgiving for all these magnificent people sitting in this pew today. Give us the power, give us the strength, give us the commitment and the courage to be Jesus to the rest of the world around us. In your Holy Son's name we pray, amen.